right, hitting the button.
Thursday's the 17th. Was the 17th.
Get those words!
And good morning, guys. It is Monday, and it is an 80s Monday in here at the Bid Nerds, your daily nerd out on the most interesting cars of the day and all the automotive enthusiast auction sites, including Bring a Trailer, P Car Market, Rad for Sale, and Cars and Bids. I am wearing my hearing impaired Wildcat shirt in honor of Radwood and Rad for Sale. We are excited about Radwood coming up and Rad for Sale. We're going to review a bunch of the cars that are closing on Rad for Sale today. Incredibly excited about that. By the way, my name is John Polnick. I'm your host, along with my partner, Michael Deeb, over there. He's in San Francisco and I'm in Las Vegas. How you doing, Michael Deeb?
Good morning, JP. How was L.A.?
L.A. was pretty darn spectacular. We had a great time. We stayed at Matt Drobny's house. You know, we say this all the time about cars and the people you meet and everything, that it really isn't the cars. It's about the people. And I will say, I can say the same thing about these auction sites. We come on here every day. We go through all these auction sites and we find the most interesting cars so that you guys don't have to, right? We whittle it down to the most interesting cars of the day. Then we talk about them. Then we make predictions. And every now and then, we'll even sell one of our own personal cars on one of these auction sites. And the first car I ever auctioned off and what kind of started this whole Bid Nerds thing was a car that I bought kind of as a joke for a friend, and we wound up, it was such a great car, we talked about it a million times, the 1988.
That was Rochelle's idea, was it not?
To blow something, yeah, no, it was, she wanted to blow up the smart car, which ultimately.
Oh, okay, sorry, Rochelle, sorry.
And blow that
okay,
up. Yeah.
All right.
Now, our good friend Rami Mirza, his girlfriend, had a nice 1988 Chrysler Baron in high school, and Rami wanted to blow up a car, so I went out and found a Chrysler Baron to blow up, but when we found it, we realized how nice it was. So instead of blowing it up, we put it on Cars and Bids. We're like, well, let's try this Cars and Bids thing. It's so nice. It had like 50,000 original miles. It looked like it was hermetically sealed. It was great. And
was it a stick?
Yeah, it was a stick with like no money.
Yeah.
It was, this car looked perfect. And the fellow that wound up buying it was our friend Matt Drobny. He came out to pick up the car and we met him and he just became friends instantly. And now he comes to all of our events. We like to see him and he invited us to stay at his place for the weekend in Encino. And so it got a million degrees here in Las Vegas and we decided to escape the heat and go out and see the Pelican Parts thing, do the Good Vibes Breakfast Club drive.
And Jason went with you?
Ranch. Yep, Jason Alter went with us.
That's awesome.
We had an epic time. We went to Deos. You know, we did all the just kind of dumb LA stuff. We're kind of Venice and everything.
How was the Pelican Parts party?
You know, it was a good turnout. A lot of people, and the same thing with Breakfast Club. Breakfast Club was really light because half of the usual suspects were on the Targa, California. Last weekend, which, it was great because going up the crest, we weren't behind, it wasn't busy. Like on Friday, we had the road all to ourselves. We were flying up there. It was just magnificent. The Pelican Parts turnout was still really, really good. I love Pelican Parts. We saw Tony Mazzagatti. He came out with his 904 all the way from Vegas, so he was there too. Jason and I weren't the only ones from Vegas there. But I got to tell you, it's one of those car shows that's like at the top of a parking garage at a mall, and it's just it's not very inspired. It's in a beautiful area, Palos Verdes. You know, that's what just gorgeous place in the world, but it really didn't take advantage of it. It was just in the parking garage. I was like, this is kind of, honestly, it was
like
kind of lame, even though it was really fun and to see people, it was really not an inspired spot to do a cool car show.
Bummer.
I wouldn't say it's a bummer. It's just, it was still a great show. It was still great to be there and lots of great cars, but I feel like if you're someone like Pelican Parts and you can get that kind of showing, if that many people are going to show up, find a venue that's like kind of special. And that's kind of, and look, I say that like that's easy to do. In LA, that's really hard. If you want a place to put a few hundred cars that's not a parking garage, that's kind of that's a tall order. But you know, that's car show 101. It's what's your philosophy of making a car show? Is a car show a great car show because there's lots of cars in a big open space and all the cars are in rows? Mm-hmm. Or is a car show better if it's in a small space and you can't fit everyone in and the cars aren't in rows and they're in interesting places? That's why Luftkult has become such a phenomenon. And I think Rad right. would for to a certain extent when they do them sure. in really cool venues, when they find good venues. Anyways, yeah. How about your weekend, man? How's the restaurant? Did it get open?
We opened. Woo-hoo! Absolutely. Yeah. Thursday night, we had a very soft opening. It's just hard to explain, man. But like, the city's kind of a mess right now. Staffing's been a problem. So we did sort of a half opening where we didn't even have pizza. But by the time the weekend rolled around, we're in full swing and we're off the ground. And JP, for whatever it's worth, I don't want to get too technical or drone on, but like Friday and Saturday night, the numbers were better than almost the best 2 days of any 2 days we had last year when we tried to open the first time during the COVID problem. Mm-hmm. So if we're, you know, for the better part of being out of the pandemic or on our way out of the pandemic and things are better, this weekend was a really good sign for us. So thank you to everyone that stopped by. And I'm really proud of my sister and Esther for working their butts off to get the restaurant off the ground. So we are official underway.
Nice. Congrats. Yeah. We
thank
look
you.
Forward to seeing that go better and better as time goes on. All right. Well, there you go, guys. That was our weekend. Like you guys care, whatever. You tune in because you want to hear about the cars.
News fest.
All right, so hit the subscribe, like, and notification button if you haven't already, which I'm sure you have. Thanks for being a fan. Look at that. He's got the smash button. Deep smash. Yep.
Cousin Mark sent over the Hulk smash for the smash button. So that's a prop for the Bid Nerds from Cousin Mark. Smash the like button, smash the subscribe button, and smash all the buttons on your phone to tell your friends about us.
That's what you should be doing if you are a fan of the nerds and if you are a nerd yourself. All right. So what we do, again, if you're new, if you're just finding out about the nerds and you're going, are these our people? I think you are. What we do is we don't just nerd out on the most interesting cars of the day. We make predictions. We actually will bring the cars up. We'll talk about them and then we'll say, hey, this is how much this car is going to sell for. We put our money where our mouth is, and we go ahead and make these predictions, and then we check ourselves. That is right. What is happening? What is going on?
Oh, sorry. That was me. My bad. I'm so excited. I'm like not even caffeinated. I'm like get to it. Let's go.
Deep chomping at the bit to get to the numbers because we had a strong week last week.
That's right.
Last Thursday was our last show of the day of the week because I left town for the long weekend. And so let's go over the cars from last week. We had some pretty cool ones, and we had Chris Kluhl on the last show.
Yeah, from the Overcrest podcast. Yeah, he was great. Really nice guy. Friend of yours. I got to meet him on the show, and JP, he's really good at this. You know, I know you always joke about bringing on an expert. He really was. He kicked our butts every which way but sideways. It was awesome.
Yeah, I don't know if we want to bring him on again because he was too
Never
good
again.
At this.
His partner's
going to come on, and he'll probably wipe the floor with us as well.
Oh, my goodness.
So congrats to Chris. Nice work. Let's get to those numbers. What cars did we talk about on?
What was our first car? I think we started off on P Car Market with the 2014 Porsche 911 50th anniversary model. And there are cool features that come on this car. Those like 19-inch Fuchs replica wheels. And they were offered with a Pepita, sort of a houndstooth interior. This one didn't have it, but this one did have really low miles, and it was black on black. So this was a super nice car, and we thought it was going to break the bank. We all kind of overshot it, though, and I think we really expected just a teeny bit more out of P-Car Market. Anyways, I said 112,000. You said 115, and Chris said 110. The car sold P Car Market naturally during the end of auction, 105,500. So Chris was the closest, but I'll chalk the win.
That is an interesting number. I still think this car probably brings a little more on BAT,
oh, yeah.
but
oh, yeah.
but you have to acknowledge that this car is a PDK car. And I think, and like you had pointed out, that they didn't option the cool seats. So it wound right. up, yeah, it really was a disappointing car, not just because of the platform and not just because of the results, but just because the car.
Because of both.
Yeah, the car yeah. should have been a better car. And yeah. I don't know. I mean, look, if. Geez, I'm surprised Picard didn't make more money on this, especially since this car was in their neck of the woods. And typically cars on their side of the country, the closer they are to Long Island, the better they seem to do. And there doesn't seem to be anything wrong with this car. This car looks like it's unbelievably perfect.
JP, that 991, basically a GTS, right? Because it's got the power pack. It's 430 horsepower. That 991 is 997.2 GT3 performance. Yeah. It's the exact same spec. It's 430 horse and 325 torque. I mean, and it's and a more comfortable car. I mean, that is a all ton of car for the money. At 105,000 with what it had, like 20,000 miles or 11,000
yeah,
miles. I mean,
really
that's
low.
Oh my goodness. That's an insane value. And again, I just feel like consigners that go to P car market, I just feel like you guys are leaving a little bit of money on the table and sometimes a lot. That's I can't believe that met a reserve at 105.
Yeah. And just for the record, it's 9,000 miles, not
10,000. Yeah, low miles.
Really low miles.
That car's just broken in.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's an interesting result. That's for sure. There's some other Porsches of the day, too. How about that
yep,
Flachbau?
Okay. So the Flachbau was on Bring a Trailer. It's a 1994 car out of, what did we say, Slow, Arizona? Slow something? I don't know. Anyway, this guy's brought a couple of cool cars to market. This one is a 1994 911 Turbo S Flachbau, flat nose. These are nearly $750,000 cars with the market being up and being in excellent condition. This car did have some miles on it. I'm actually happy to report it's got 46,000 miles. The car was built for the Japanese market, and I think we decided it was one of 10 ever made. So we were expecting a big result out of this car. I said 600,000. You took the over at 625, which I thought was pretty smart. And then Chris took the under at 580. So we were all in that sort of range. Well, our car only made it a few more bids after we reviewed it. It stalled out at 430,000 JP, and it was a failure to sell. So that car is going to remain available. We'll probably see it on Hemmings or something. It'll be interesting to see when that car comes back to market, what the asking price is, because that'll give us an idea of where the reserve was set. This guy has another 964 Turbo S. I don't think it's a Flachbau, but it's in red, and it's on BAT right now. So we may take a look at that car later this week when it comes to close. But it's the exact same consigner. He's obviously got his hands on an incredible collection of cars, and he's parceling them off.
I mean, I got to think it has something to do with his paint meter. I mean, looking at the paint meter readings, it looks like the paint meter's broken. I mean, it's one thing to have, you know, different numbers, but there's like not one. There's like 30 pictures of the paint meter readings, and they go anywhere from 40 to 240. It's like, what?
It's crazy all over the place.
What's going on? I mean, did this guy just rattle can the car? I think people were just like, what the hell's going on? And this consigner probably shouldn't have shown the paint meter. Not because he should have been dishonest, but that just was maybe too much information, right?
And we talked about that when we were looking at the car, and I agree. It's at a certain point at that level, the guy doesn't need to see the paint meter. Like, just do it. And if he comes down to paint meter, then send it to him. But I don't know. Yeah, I agree. Look, you could repaint this car for 30 grand, and at 600,000, what's another 30? So, like, you know.
It is always unnerving to see the underside of a 911 air-cooled 911 hood without the option sticker.
Yep.
So that would basically scare me away from spending real money on it.
As a Japanese import, it'd be really cool to see that for the Japanese market with Japanese writing on there. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be really cool. And the fact that it's gone is you're right. It's a dear omission.
Mm. All right, one more Porsche from Thursday.
Doug DeMiro found a 2020. Taycan, the electric Taycan 4S, which is 2,000 miles in an attractive colorway. I mean, it looks like the launch car that everybody was driving. Anyway, fair result. I said 112. You were pretty hot. You said 129, which was mirroring what we decided was the MSRP because there was a photo of the Monroney sticker. And then Chris came in underneath us at 108. Well, he almost got a Yahtzee. Our car sold for $106,000. Again, it was at like 98 or 99 when we were looking at it. And I just, look, at $130,000 used car that's already essentially two model years old, I expected that car to be like an $84,000 car. So when we were looking at it at 98 grand, JP, it already seemed high to me. But, you know, you're still basically, you know, on the retainer for God and Porsche. And you're around the dealership way more than I am these days. And you were saying, Michael, these cars are basically hard to get. The pandemic really hurt a boutique manufacturer like Porsche, and they are behind on allocations. And so if you can't get a new one, used ones, the price drives up. And that's kind of what happened here. You might have overshot it, but still 106 seems like a ridiculously strong result for their lowest spec electric car that's 2 years old with some miles on it. So anyways, I think that's a really strong result, even if we all overshot it.
Yeah, if this were before times, I think your assessment is correct. It's like, all right, well, it's a 2019 or whatever. 20. Yeah, it's, this thing should be a $75,000 car. I mean, look at Panameras. That's basically what happens usually, but not right now because you can't get anything. So, you know, there you go. If you want one of these, I think the only way you're going to get it, you're not going to roll into a discount like the olden days and say, all right, I'll give you, I'll pay you cash or do whatever and try to discount. They're going to be like, hit the bricks, pal. 40 other people want the car. So the only way to get a discount on one of these is to get one with a few miles on it. And I mean, let's face it, 1800 miles, who cares? That's a new car.
Yeah. Porsche's trying to get caught up with fulfilling orders for all their cars with the dealers. Dealers are dying to get new cars. If you go to your local dealer, you'll see a lot of empty parking spaces, and it's not the dealer's fault, it's the manufacturer. But if you were to walk in today and place an order, you're probably waiting longer than 4 months. You're probably waiting 6 months. And by the time that car gets here, it's a 2022. So there you go.
Good point. All right, let's see.
A couple of Japanese cars. Yeah, Rat for Sale had this 1998 Toyota RAV4, 130,000 miles. This is, I think, the first ever RAV4. So it's like a two-door, four-seat, four-wheel drive with a stick. Now, this car is in Canada. This car has 130,000 miles on it. And it had a reserve. And JP, I was mad when we looked at it. I said, at $2,000, who's going to buy and import this car that's not eligible to come in cleanly on the 25-year exemption? This car is too young for that. So who's going to pay the money to import this car to the U.S.? I just don't understand this lot. It doesn't even make sense for Rad for Sale. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a new platform, and they'll probably take what they can get. But I still think that the only way this car had a chance is if it had no reserve. And I was liberated. I said two, you said three, Chris Kluel said 2,100. Our car actually was bid up to $3,600, but it failed to sell at that price. What is going on here? Guys, you got to govern your site better. It's just, that's a shame. 3,600 should have sold that car. And then who bid 3,600 because it would cost you more than that to get into this country? That had to be a domestic Canadian bid, I'm assuming. But I don't know. This whole thing didn't make any sense to me. JP, you won it. This lot was a soup sandwich. It doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, there's, you know, a RAV4 like that's definitely worth more than that much money if it were here.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, even
if it's on the ground, what would you put it? Yeah, what do you think? 130,000 miles. Is that a $5,000 car? A $7,000 car?
If it's in California, that's a $5,000 or $6,000 car at least.
All right, fair play. Yeah. But at 3,600. Plus, let's just say you could get it in for $4,500, which I don't think is realistic. But let's say you could. I mean, that puts you at $9,000-$10,000. I mean, that ain't going to work.
Doesn't make sense. All right. How about this little Acura? This was a great car.
No, Honda Civic.
Or, sorry, Honda Civic. Yeah. Acura, so Integra, Honda Civic. What's the difference?
A Honda Civic SI, I think we decided it had like 45,000 miles on it. It was interesting because it was sitting at $23,000 when we looked at it. So I bet the over at 28, and then you went higher than me at 30, and Chris Kluel split the difference at $29,000. Turned out our car didn't get another bid. 23 was the high water mark, and that's remarkable simply because BAT is famous for having the best late finishes of all the auction platforms. Mm-hmm. You know, if an interesting car sells and there's people that want it, watching an auction close on BAT is the most exciting. So when we saw it at 23, I think we're expecting kind of absurdly big things. Anyway, we all got fooled. The car didn't get another bid. It sold at $23,000, and I got the win. Chalk up three wins for our new third nerd, Chris Kluel, from the Overcast podcast. Chris, it was really nice to meet you. I don't think I'll ever talk to you again. You'll never be invited back on the show because you kicked our ass. He got three wins, JP. That was really strong. You got one. I got one. And technically, I'll score the other three that Chris didn't take. And then add that to my week. I had 12 wins to your eight, and I had the Yahtzee. So that week was all mine. You walked away what is those? Don't quit while you're behind. You should have done the show on Friday instead of going and having all that fun in LA. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. You know, I could have. That was my only chance to. I mathematically eliminated myself from the week's win. So, all right, good job. Yeah.
There was a result over the weekend, and I would remind you if we could take a look at that.
Sure. Yeah. Go for it.
You want to do it now? Okay, so tee it up. Mike Myers, a.k.a. Buddha in Las Vegas, Clemson's favorite own. He is a 996 owner. He is a 996 apologist. He doesn't care what you think about the headlights on his car. He loves his. And he brought to our attention that crazy 996 convertible that brought $52,000 on BAT a couple of weeks ago. JP, over the weekend, there was another result for a 1999 911 996 coupe with 38,000 miles, black on black, aero kit car. Now, again, this is obviously a stronger model than that previous one that I think was a 2000 cab with 45,000 miles that was like blue with tan. This is black on black with what looks like aero kit stuff, but it doesn't have the tacos. So I wonder if it's an authentic factory aero kit car because the tacos are omitted from this dot one. But other than that, it's a low mile black on black coupe with aero kit parts. But this car still brought $52,996, which seems like, I mean, we're talking 4S money, right? That's dot two C4S money. This result is still pretty absurd. So Mike Myers brought that to our attention for you and I to just go, what the F, you know?
Yeah, this car. So you could order the Aero without the tacos. I mean,
You could. Good to know.
So I'm pretty sure this one's got to be factory. I mean, to get that kind of money. The other question I have is: does this one have a LSD? The 99 was the only year of the 996 .1 that you could get an LSD option. Code 220. They did offer the LSD in the 2004.2 version as well as an option. But so the LSD versions of this car are actually pretty darn cool. If you're going to get a dot one, it's got to have the aero kit. It's got to be a coupe. It's got to be a color combo like this. This number is not as anywhere close to as berserk as that cab. I'm still quite confident that cab had something going on. It was money laundering or something weird. That's pure speculation on my part, but I just there's no way that car was worth $50,000. Whereas this car, in the way the market is, this, you know, like a regular 996.1 without the aero and without a 220, I'm going to go, and this one has pretty low miles too. I mean, look, this interior looks really nice for one of these.
Sub 40,000 miles.
Yeah. So, I mean, all right, well, that's bonkers. The crazy thing is this has the genuine, what was considered the fried egg headlight. So everyone, you know, people, one of the things that just pisses me off to no end is people saying that all 996s have that darn fried egg and that's bad. And they include the dot twos in that. And the dot twos don't have a fried egg. It's a completely different headlight. This is a fried egg because, and not even all the dot ones technically have the, because this one has the yellow turn signals in the headlight. Whereas the, some of the clear ones don't. And then of course the dot twos are a completely different shape.
I predict sometime down the road, you know, like generation from now, these headlights will get a premium.
Yeah, right. It's probably true because everyone has one.
They bagged on them for a decade, almost two decades now, and then eventually somebody's going to pay more for them. Watch.
Well, the thing to do was to get one of these and swap out to clear fronts. And then same thing with the rear tails, right? So you got the amber on the top. You could get a clear version of this that just looked so much better. And then the same thing, of course, the little orange signals on the
sides.
So I don't know, whatever. This one being super original with the orange. You're right. Maybe. And it, you know, matches the license plate because it's from Florida. That's probably the most surprising result is that the car is in that good a condition and it's in Florida because most cars in Florida just look terrible. Our good friend Nate up in Utah has a really nice red one of these that I remember him talking about possibly selling. He's like, I don't know, maybe I can get 30 for it. It's like,
oh my goodness.
And he's like, do you think that's nuts? I'm like, nah, I think that's pretty much where they're going. And now his car's got to be worth at least 50 grand because this is nicer than this and it does have the tacos.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right.
You should have bought that car.
I know. I should have. I totally.
Yeah, you should have bought that car.
Yeah. I think we talked about it, didn't we?
That's so funny.
All right, guys. Well, before we get to the cars of the day, I want to talk to you about one of our sponsors. They're really awesome. Hold on a second. I'm always having a hard time getting this darn thing to play here. Here we go. Is it playing?
There you go. Yeah, Guys Customs.
Guys Customs. Darn it. Sorry, we're having some issues over here. Yeah. There
bespoke,
it is.
So, bespoke guys, men's customs. Men's gear.
That is right. Look at that. So I am wearing my Guys Customs bracelets right now. These are individually made for every. So look, if you're a dude, you have all these cool cars, you have all these cool watches. You know, what do you get a guy that has pretty much everything? He's got Ferraris, he's got Porsches, he's got amazing timepieces. Why not get him a custom made bracelet that matches either his car or his watch or both? And when we say matches, we don't mean just like, oh, okay, it's similar to his car or similar to his watch. This artist will paint to sample beads specifically to match your car or watch. So, for instance, if you have a Mexico blue 911, you can let her know that, hey, here's the paint code on my car. She will go out and order the paint code, order the paint that is on your car, and make beads that will match it. It's unbelievable. Every single one of these is custom made by the artist right here in America. There's only one way to get one of these. You can't go on a website. You can't order them. They're not mass produced. You have to go to her Instagram page and look for Guys Customs, and it's spelled weird too. It's GYX. That's Guys _ Custom. That's GYX _ Customs. That's plural. Guys Customs. And that's on Instagram. You can go there and you can see pictures of a bunch of different bespoke bracelets that she's made. And then you DM her and you tell her what you want, and she'll get you hooked up, and she'll send you a bracelet. They're just unbelievably great. So, yeah, we love ours. We've got a bunch of them that match all our watches and cars and stuff like that. They just, man, they're fantastic.
Get yours.
You have a couple of them, right?
I do. I ended up wearing mine because I ran out of the house this morning. I had to pull Ruby out of deep storage.
Yeah.
Thawed out from cryogenically frozen it in time to take it to the mechanic for fresh suspension, because I think somebody else is going to be driving it very soon.
I can understand not wearing your bracelet because you had that big, big green wrist.
That's right. Yeah.
I wonder if you can get a
Guys Custom.
Guys Customs bracelet to fit that. That's the way to go, man.
I did one in purple.
Yeah. That's a good idea. I bet you'll make you one. I bet you got one on the way. That is fantastic. So check out Guys _ Customs, Guys Customs bracelets on the Instagram today, and get your bracelet. So thanks for checking them out.
Mark just texted me. He wanted me to know that this one is for me, and that this one is for you.
Oh, I get one too.
Yeah.
They're both right-handies, huh?
Yeah. No. I got a left. You got it right. I have to use the left because my microphone's on my right side. So anyway, you get the other one, and it's waiting for you here in San Francisco.
Very nice. I'm excited about it. Thanks, Mark. Nice work.
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, and thanks to all of you guys who listen and watch every day. We really appreciate you guys. And I know you've already hit the subscribe, like, and notification buttons. But now we're going to ask you to, you know, tell a friend, go on these. We're going to talk about a bunch of cars today. And what we want our Nerd Nation to do is to get out there and go to these auctions. Go to the individual auctions on the auction sites where these cars are listed, and say that you saw the car on Bid Nerds in the comments. That kind of stuff really helps us out. People need to know that the nerds are out there, and that that, you know, look, there's people. We're your people. We're nerds. We got to spread the Nerd Nation. Bid Nerds Nation needs to happen. So let's make it happen. And screw all that. Let's get to the cars today. What do we got? We're going really heavy with Radwood today.
We are. They went really heavy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm super stoked about this 944. How can you not be like so mad?
And they are too. This car is in Aptos, California, which is basically, it's just like across the train tracks to Aptos from Santa Cruz. It's in that same region. So my guess is either Warren or Lane probably know the consigner here personally. And that's why this car is on their site. That and the fact that it is absolutely in the spirit of occasion. We're looking at a white 944 turbo with 115,000 miles and some really cool martini style graphics on the side. And of course, those aren't painted on. Those are just decals. So if you're not into the graphics, you can peel them off. But how could you not love the Martini stuff on a Porsche from that era? It's really cool. Our car has just an hour to go. So this is one, the first one that's going to close today. And it's sitting at $11,000. $11,111 on 14 bids. There's some money spent on recent service here. So the consigner's owned the car for 3 years. And while he's had it, he's spared no expense in doing all the work necessary to kind of update all the systems on the car. That includes replacing the steering rack, the control arms. There's a fuel pressure damper and a clutch hydraulics, just to name a few things. The timing belt and the water pump were all done. And all that is part of $10,000 in receipts over the last 72 months that this consigner has done. So by all accounts, even though this car's got high miles, a lot of the stuff on the car is fresh. So it's basically turnkey and enjoy. You probably just have to do regular maintenance on this car for the next year or two, unless you go through a set of tires like you or I would, JP. But great car, great value, and a great car for Rad for sale. I love this car. You know, I've been feeling 944s for a while, basically since you and I started doing the show. We cover 944s almost every week, and this is one I would definitely drop some money on. This is a nice car.
You got to love that this one's been taken on there on the DWA's Coastal Range rallies. You know, you're right. He's obviously part of the, not necessarily part of the crew, but someone that knows these guys, and they're, you know, they've got all the DWA stickers and rally and all that kind of fun stuff. So, you know, this car,
they've met.
And you know, this car has had, you know, it's a car that's tested. It's a car that that makes sense to, you know, because this is an enthusiast car. This is the kind of car that you want to get and you want to take on those Coastal Range rallies. This isn't the car that you get and put away in a garage and some jerk just like takes a diaper to it. This is an enthusiast car. So with that said, what do we think this car is going to land at 100? It does have some miles on it.
It does have some miles, but the original window sticker's in there. I there's a lot to like. There's a lot going on here. JP, I think this car is cool. Like I said, last night it was at $10,000. Now it's at $11,001 on a couple more bids. I don't think this car is going to break 20 grand. Although if it did and it's on Rad for sale and it's one of their people's car, it wouldn't surprise me. But I think the fair value for this car is close to, let's say, $17,000. So are you going to come in hotter than that or what?
You know, I'm not. I mean, I said that it's got miles on it. 115,000 is really not a lot of miles for a car this old. For a collector car, it certainly is. But for a car that you're going to drive, and since this one's had the maintenance, did it say it had a clutch on it done recently, or did you notice anything about that?
No, I didn't see the clutch.
Yeah, clutches are not inexpensive on these, so that is something to, you know, to have a little concern about. That's going to be a $5,000 repair at some point in there. Where is it sitting at now?
It's at $11,100 on 14 bids.
And your number was?
$17,000. So they did clutch hydraulics, but they didn't. That doesn't say the clutch itself.
Yeah. I'm gonna say 15. I think this car is 15? really
All right.
cool. But we have not seen 944s realize big numbers. They just as great a car as they are, they're still
it's the low mile ones that people pay 50 grand for.
Yeah, and you know what the weird thing is too, is that, you know, this is a turbo and I don't think it's gonna get anywhere near 20 grand. And and, you know, if it were the same mileage and same condition naturally aspirated one, I think it'd be about the same number. It's weird.
I know,
that the
weird?
Naturally aspirated ones have kind of caught up with the turbos. The turbos do require a significant more amount of maintenance. They are, I'm not going to say they're problematic, but they are not as robust. I mean, the naturally aspirated ones, man, you could pour sand in the engine on those. As long as you change the timing belt and water pump, you're pretty much good to go on those.
That is a strangely accurate that there's a delta of like 100,000 miles where turbos and normally aspirated 944s start to bring the same money, whereas low mile naturally aspirated cars barely break 20, whereas super low mile turbos will break the bank. You know? Like they start bringing $40,000, $50,000, and $60,000 in some occasions.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, where is so that's our numbers. We shall see. What was the original MSRP on this car? We have the
33,000.
33,000. Yeah. So I don't think it's going to get anywhere near that.
No.
But that's because it's got miles. If it had lower miles, or really low miles, you could maybe see that.
Yeah. Well, check it out, JP. They also found a 1983 Volkswagen Rabbit GTI in Marina, California. This car looks basically stock, but what we're looking at is an example that showing 194,000 miles, and they're claiming it TMU, like true mileage unknown. But look at that. All the original Whoa. Bits are there. This car doesn't look like it's heavily modified. So it's got the stock 1.8 liter four-cylinder motor. It's got the five-speed manual with the golf ball shifter. They redid the fabric on the interior, and it looks kind of original. I don't know if the red ones had the stripes like the blue ones did, but it looks pretty tidy on the interior. So it's kind of a nice car, and we just haven't seen Volkswagens get the love in the online auctions. But these original GTIs, I just feel like they should be more collectible for what they are. And look, I know they built a gazillion of them, but to see one left that's not beat to snot, modified to snot, or rusted through, I would think that these cars would start to bring kind of silly money, and they don't. So our car is sitting at a respectable $6,500 on six bids with still 3 hours to go out of Marina, California, which I think is – a little further south than the Santa Cruz Monterey area, I think, but I'm not positive where that is. But anyway, a lot to like here, JP. And I think 6,500 is strong. I don't know if this car would bring much more than that on BAT. BAT and like cars and bids, these cars get no love. I think Rad for Sale is absolutely the best place to do that. I still don't think it's going to break 10 grand, but 6,500 is more than we've seen any of these go for. So what do you think?
Yeah, I think this one's also nicer than any of these that we've seen. I mean,
fair play.
It's every single one of these that we've looked at has kind of been a piece of crap.
That's
so
right.
So it's going to be hard to gauge when this auction ends and whatever number, because like you said, the number's already higher than we've seen other ones go for. Is everyone going to say, oh, well, that's because of Rad for Sale? Or is that going to be because the condition? And of course, the answer has got to be both. I think Rad for Sale is probably potentially going to be the place to sell Volkswagens for nice ones. If somebody brings a nice one to market, I think we're not seeing nice ones being brought to market like we are seeing with like 300Zs from like 1990 and stuff like that. We're seeing a bunch of stuff like that come out because we're seeing big numbers being brought on BAT and other platforms. But Volkswagens, I think anybody who's got a nice Volkswagen has seen the numbers and has been saying, yeah, I'm not, why sell it? I'm not going to get any money for it. Hopefully this one changes all that, because this is, I mean, and the thing is, it's not even really that nice. The body is kind of dinged up, and it's a driver quality car. This is definitely not a museum quality or collector quality. This is a driver. The interior looks immaculate. I mean, that's where
they redid those fabric seats. Yeah, and a new headliner.
I don't know if they did. Where would you get that material?
Oh, they claim they did. Yeah, it's in the ad. Yeah.
Wow, where do you get that? I mean,
I don't know. New fabric and refinished the seats, and then a new headliner, and then they refreshed the suspension, which is actually kind of nice, JP. Yeah. There's some new like control arms, and then they swapped out the stock springs and shocks for what is an H&R cup kit. They're not exactly coilovers, but the cup kit means that H&R matched the springs and the shocks for a particular model. I had cup kit on my old 190E 16 valve, and it's a great setup. So if that's what's on this car, I guarantee you this car handles really, really beautiful.
Yeah, and so what was the miles on this thing? I mean, the odometer?
It's basically 200,000 miles.
Yeah, so I mean, that's a lot of miles. The interior, now looking at the pictures closely, the interior is not perfect.
No.
The dashboard is remarkably nice, but these, you know, the headliner on the corners in the back is just roached. The door cards are a little beat up, especially on the
Everything's
tops.
Wavy.
Yeah, so it's, you know, but it's even with that said, even with the high miles, even
you.
with the things that are wrong with it, it's still nicer than anyone we've seen for sale, including Sciroccos and everything from the 80s. Just Volkswagen stuff from the 80s just gets beat up. I do love that it's got an original old school Volkswagen radio cassette player. I love that. You know, I have a Jeep Wrangler on Rad for Sale that we'll be talking about soon. And the only thing not original on it is the stereo. And I'm kind of regretting not just finding an old stereo and swapping it out, because that really just screams. When you see that the stereo is correct, it just makes you go, yeah, this car is on it.
Yeah.
Where is this going to land? What do we think? What's the number?
JP, with 3 hours to go at a Marina, California, is an 83 Volkswagen Rabbit GTI Mark One with about 200,000 miles, but it's really TMU. Just six bids, but already up to $6,500, which is a respectable number. I think this car has got a chance, and I'm going to say, so here's the big thing, man. Is it going to break 10 grand? I don't think so. I'm going to say 9,500.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, there's no way it's breaking 10. I'm going to say 8,500 bucks. I think it's a great driver car. I think you buy this car, you bring it to Radwood, and you bring it to, you know, the DWA rallies, and you drive the living heck out of it, and it will go forever. Maybe get that air conditioning unit to work, and you can bring it down to the desert. All right, cool car.
JP, quick question. This is a Mark 1 GTI. Did they make a Mark 1 GTI in the U.S. that had round headlights instead of square headlights?
I do not believe they did. I think they were all...
So all the Mark 1s were squares, and the Mark 2s had rounds.
Yeah, some of the Mark 2s had rounds.
Some of the Mark 2s had rounds.
So it depends on which year and which setup. Like the 16-valve ones did, and then the later 8-valve and 16-valves. It just depended on what the options were.
Cool.
This is what a cool car. But it's pretty darn easy to swap out round headlights from a Rabbit in one of these, which definitely looks dope.
Okay. I love the round headlights.
Yeah, me too. What else?
All right,
JP. We're not done with Rad for sale. There's more.
Guys, and listen, look, I love those guys, and everybody, opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one, and they usually stink. I have one that stinks, and that is Warren's defense was, well, Michael, we try to get the cars up as soon as they come in. So when three cars come in on the same day, then we put three cars up at the same time. And I just think for a auction site that doesn't have an auction every day, they should have spread these three cars out over 3 days. That's just my opinion. If I was there, that's what I would have voted for if I was entitled to an opinion. But in any case, they got three submissions on the same day, turned all three cars on, and now they have three auctions closing on the same day where they have nothing closing tomorrow. I just, like, it just doesn't make sense to me. But anyway, whatever. Here we go. So their third car today, which is closing in 6 hours from now, later in the day, is offered out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania by their good friends, the seller LBI Limited. LBI Limited is a really cool place on the East Coast, and they get some really cool cars. Check out this 1995 BMW M3 Lightweight. The 95 is powered by a 3-liter inline six and is meant to be sort of a stripped out club racer version offered to customers in the United States that wanted to track their M3s. These cars are about, if I remember correctly, about 150 pounds lighter because they omit air conditioning, a sunroof, even the stereo. And then there was a package in the trunk that offered like an X brace and then a taller rear wing and a lower front spoiler. And so some really neat pieces that when put on the car made the car drive and handle better around the turns. So, JP, this car has only 36,000 miles, but it is worth reading in down to the comments or to the description of the car that the previous owner of this car did use it on the track regularly. They put coilover suspension on there. They bolted in a roll bar, and they strapped in a 5-point harness. So it's safe to say that this car has had a very spirited, which would be nice, or very rough, to be honest, life. While the car has... The consignor has spent about $16,000 in services and corrective work to return the car to stock. It is also worth noting that the car remains with an aftermarket cam, a TRM DME chip for the brain of the car, and then it also has a Conforti cold air intake system and a DTM style exhaust system coming out of the back. Now, if you just would love to have one of these and drive the snot out of it, and you don't need to pay a premium for a collector example, this is your car, because I think this car is going to go for well under the current market value. Current market value would dictate that a 36,000 mile stock M3 that's had a relatively pampered life, or at least just a road life and not a track life, would be pushing $150,000 in today's market. But I think this car, with the mods and its history that is rightfully disclosed, and we commend Rand for sale for bringing all that stuff into the listing, I think that this car could be had for under $100,000. So, JP, I turn it over to you. I know you've driven E36s. I wonder if you've ever had the pleasure of driving a proper lightweight.
I have not, and I sure wish I have. I have driven, you know, a million E36 M3s, but it had it was a while since I'd driven one, a nice one, and just a few weeks ago, about a month ago, we were in the Northwest, and Kai Roberts, the previous owner of the car over my shoulder, he currently has just a regular, if you could call that, a regular BMW M3 E36, and we took that over the pass, and, you know, he had refreshed everything, the suspension, you know, it had relatively low miles, I think it only had 50,000 miles on it, but it just reminded me how good these cars are.
Right.
You know, Lane from Rad for Sale says, oh, BMW doesn't make sports cars. It's like, Lane, what are you talking about? Drive a proper E36 M3 and tell me that's not a sports car. Come on, brother. Let's get you on here and let's have that out. But this one in particular, I mean, being a lightweight like that, oh, gosh, this has got to be just so much fun to drive. You know, with the value on these being so high, I mean, I guess it's like a GT3.
Crazy.
It's just, I just can't.
They've gone through the roof.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to get a driver, to me, if it's like a driver, all right, well, just get a regular E36 M3. They're overpriced too, but you know, you could get one for well under $30,000 and probably the nicest one out there and make it drive as well as this and still have air conditioning, I guess. I don't know. This car is the person that wants this car and is willing to pay the premium for it. That is a narrow audience. So with all that said, where do you think this one's going to land?
Yeah, JP, it's hard to tell. So our car is sitting at $46,000. So it only made $1,000 overnight. It has 10 bids. It's hard to gauge because, again, most of these are in such nice condition. And this one actually cosmetically looks fine. It's just that you know that this car's been, you know, sort of driven hard and put away wet. And then you're kind of guessing on a new platform. And if I'm correct in assuming this, JP, have we seen Rad for Sale bring six figures for a car? Have they had a six-figure car yet? Am I forgetting something special?
Yeah, wasn't that 944 Cup car one of their first cars?
Yeah, that was 80-something thousand dollars. And that's kind of where I think the value on this car is. I don't think this is a $100,000 car. And at $45,000 last night, I didn't even think it would bring twice that at 90. Mm-hmm. But I do think that the value here is in that $80,000 to $85,000 range. And then the question is, does Rad for Sale have the audience to achieve the correct value? So I'm just going to say yes because I love those guys. So I'm betting with my heart, but I'm going to say $84,000, which is a fair value that if it reached that number, LBI would sell the car at that price. I don't think this car is going for $75,000. And if LBI thinks it's a $100,000 car, I don't think that's fair either. So we'll see if it makes it to 84 and if it sells at that price. There's a if with this one. It's a weird lot because, like you said, it's a narrow audience for this car. It's an expensive collector car that is just meant to be driven. So I don't know. We'll see.
Got to hand it to the seller, LBI, for, you know, I mean,
great photos.
Honestly, taking the risk to put this on a site like Rad for Sale. I love that they're giving these new guys a chance and putting cars on here that, I mean, look, this car would bring some pretty darn serious money on BAT. I mean, we know it would.
I'd probably get $100,000 on BAT.
You know, so are they leaving money on the table by taking a risk with a new platform that doesn't have nearly the size of the audience? We shall see. I don't know about the value of these. I know that really clean ones are worth a gajillion dollars, but this one, like you said, isn't that. So, you know, but we've also seen GT3s that have had seen, you know, like 996 GT3s that have had a track life still bring big, huge money. So I don't think the track thing hurts it. And I think they did spend a bunch of money putting it back. So, okay, we'll give them that too. So I'm... what was your number? 84.
Well, quick side note before you give us our number. Paul Walker, you know, had the place in LA with his partner Roger Rodas called Always Evolving. And he loved cars. After doing all the Fast and Furious stuff, he really got into it. The M3 Lightweight was his favorite car. I honest to God, and I'm not exaggerating, I think he owned like nine of them or something.
Wow.
And he bought a few of them from our buddy Eric Keller over at Enthusiast Auto in Cincinnati. Eric sold him, I think, 5, 6, 7 of them, and he had like two or three of his own. So about a year or two ago, I don't know, Mecum or what the other big circus tent one, they had they auctioned off, I think, like four or five of his cars. And some of them were like 100-mile cars. Some of them were 1,000-mile cars. And then a few of them had like 17 and 30,000 miles. All those cars with his name on it all brought over 200 grand. Wow. So, I mean, you know, the prices for these are astronomical. So anyway, keep that in mind. People go Google for this car, and Paul Walker is going to be part of the story of every lightweight moving forward because his car has really split the market.
I'm going to go high on this and just hope that this is a car that I think audience is going to come over and look at. So I'll go 89,000.
All right.
You know, one of the Fast and the Furious original prop cars, one of the.
Yeah, it's going to be in Vegas, right?
No, it sold like yesterday. Oh, that was sold. That was at Vegas last this weekend.
Oh, that was this weekend. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Barrett Jackson was this weekend over or was.
Used to be in October, so I keep thinking it's coming up, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, no, they just finished it yesterday, and that was like one of the star cars of their auction.
Do you remember what it brought?
I don't. It was ridiculously high. And the crazy thing, which of course, right, it's a super from Fast and the Furious, but the crazy thing was it was a stock one with an automatic. It was one of the regular prop cars. It wasn't one of them that was like driven by
a visual, not a driver. Like
So that's like crazy. $500,000 or something like that. It was crazy, but
unbelievable.
Yeah. So all right. Well, let's see here. All right. Well, let's Rad for Sale. You know, and
good luck, you guys.
I'm going since we're here and we're hanging out on Rad for Sale. I'm going to take just a quick moment to plug. This is not a sponsor. This is, don't worry guys. This isn't a commercial. I am plugging, a very special car on Rad for Sale. I mean, we're talking very special. Check that out. A 1992 Jeep Wrangler with 38,000 original miles. And this is my Jeep. I own this. This is for sale on Rad for Sale and will close on Friday. So if you want a hermetically sealed, well, I mean, it really is super, super original.
That picture looks like you're at the pyramids of Gaza. That's hilarious.
Right? I mean, you got to hand it to our friend Lee Patet.
Lee is a freaking magician. He took your car to Egypt for you? How nice.
He did. Yeah, we drove it out. It was a day trip. That's where we went over the weekend. And
if he could have got a camel laying down in front of the car in that photo, that would have been the bee's knees.
Right. But look at this thing. There's me and my dumbness driving it. But yeah, we took it out. There's Las Vegas in the background. You know, look, this is just a four-cylinder one. It's a five-speed, but the originality of this vehicle, there's literally two door dings on it, and this is one of them. The other one didn't even show up in the photo. We tried to take a photo of the other one. You couldn't even tell.
Bid nerds.
We got the new Bid Nerd stickers coming.
Tennis balls.
Tennis balls, exactly. And we got the little bumperettes. I mean, this car had like three or four options. It had power steering, it had the bumperettes, and a folding seat. That was an option, and then alloy wheels too. So
nice.
I mean, it's a stripper, but it really is, this thing, man, it will just go forever and ever and ever and ever.
I'm surprised Rochelle didn't steal that car from you.
I don't even know if she's seen it yet. So
that's why she hasn't stolen it from you.
I could.
This car might be delisted, people.
Yeah,
it might be delisted. So you better get in contract immediately before this car gets pulled from the market.
That's right. So if you guys know anyone out there that might be interested in a really original Jurassic Park looking Jeep Wrangler YJ, let them know that they have an option to get one on Rad for Sale. That auction will close on Friday, and we're going to do a live cast for that auction. So we'll do our normal show Friday, and then we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back for the last half hour of that auction. And hopefully I won't be crying in my beer. Hopefully someone will get a great, great Jeep. All right, so moving on to cars that are not on Rad for Sale. What else we got today?
Two cars on BATJP. The first one is a car I actually want. I wish I was in a position. I would probably put a bid on this. Out of Palo Alto, California, which is basically where Stanford is. You're talking 25 minutes from the city, JP. 1992 Volkswagen Corrado SLC VR6 with a 5-speed manual in a color I just adore. This dark burgundy pearl effect with gray cloth upholstery seats. Check out the BBS wheels. Check out the condition. This is just a really nice car. And it's a great lot. It's a no reserve auction. So the consignor is just saying, hey, I've got decent photos. I'm putting it on BAT. I'll just live with the result. And hats off to you. Malberg, I don't know who it is, whatever. I shout out to the seller. There is a photo of this car, JP, with the sun shining on it. And this color reminds me of Vesuvio, which was like a 993 color. that Porsche had, but it's called Dark Burgundy Pearl Effect. Anyway, you and I are huge fans of Volkswagens. I would love to drive this car. I think this would be a fun car to commute in. I think it'd be a blast to drive and have some fun with. Maybe even put a few mods, like some suspension on this thing, and just rock it. But Volkswagens are bargain basement. Even on BAT, they're not breaking the bank. So part of the reason why this car is so tempting is because you just don't see them that often in the marketplace. And they're, it's, you know, this car might not even make it to $15,000. With an hour to go, JP, our car is sitting at $8,800 on just 9 bids. I know I keep asking you this, but why? Why are Volkswagens so unloved on the platform? Are they all on Vortex, or are they all just beat up because nobody with money has been a custodian of these cars in their history? They all graduated. Is your theory that they all graduated to Porsches and then these cars just went to teenager after teenager after teenager and they all smell like vape? What's the deal?
Yeah, I mean, I think that anyone that's going to pay a premium will say, well, you know what, if I'm going to pay a bunch of money, I'd rather get something I really like rather than the Volkswagen that I actually had. There are some people that really wanted this car and couldn't afford it back in the day, and so now they'll, that is the audience for them.
That's me.
Yeah, you know, and yeah, for sure, me too.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I just, these early... I mean, this would be kind of a Mark III Volkswagen. We're just
92,
so
yeah,
full of issues. They just had
like what? Problems. What was it?
Little problems. I mean, you know, like
window regulators.
Yeah, I mean, if you buy this car, never touch that sunroof. Do not try to open the sunroof because it will just eat itself. It's all plastic gears and cheap aluminum rails, and you'll hit that button, and it'll just go snap, bang, crack, and then now that whole thing.
Look,
is
stop
stuck
right
in
there.
A, yeah,
look at that front quarter. Doesn't that look? Do you remember the color Vesuvio that was on 993s? They made a special edition of the car, even in the U.S. It had like gray mirrors and gray wheels with that color. It's funny because dark burgundy in most instances is really like an eggplant color, but in the sunlight there, it reminds me of Vesuvio. I think
it's like
a beautiful car. I just think it's a really beautiful car. I love those cloth seats. I wish Volkswagen or any manufacturer would make. Audi used to make really cool cloth seats. I don't know, man. I just,
and this is
so nostalgic.
This is the first
JP.
Year. Yeah, this is a first year SLC. So it doesn't have an airbag yet. That's funny. It's got the Farfrig Nugent sticker in the back.
Going to mention that. Isn't that great? Yeah. Oh, it's such a, it's just, it's, yeah, so much nostalgia for me. I love this car. I
want to know who makes that stereo. Did you notice this stereo? I've never seen that before. Look at this thing. It's obviously a modern thing because it's got USBs in it. But dude, look at that. Check that out. I know there's no good picture of it in the ad, but if somebody in the comments tell me what that is. That looks like the perfect stereo to put in your classic car because it kind of looks
pretty funny.
Look at that. It's got USB inputs. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Interesting.
In this 129,000 miles, hopefully it's had maintenance. I assume it has. Where's this one going to land?
JP, I with the Volkswagens, I always bet with my heart, but even my head agrees. I think this car is just going to make it to like 12 grand. Nobody wants them. It's just weird to me. I think this should be, you know, at 125,000 miles, I think this should be like a $17,000-$18,000 car. And if it was half the miles, you know, 60,000-70,000 miles, I think these should be $25,000 cars. But nobody in the United States agrees with me. So I'm the only one that keeps ringing the VW bell. And I know you like them too, but there's just been no evidence that these cars are going anywhere in value. So 12 grand, but I feel like a million disclaimers need to come with it. Like I have to explain myself, and yet I think that's fair value for the car.
Where is it at now?
It's at $8,600 on 8 bids.
Yeah,
or $8,700 on 9 bids.
I'm saying 11. I just don't think it goes
anywhere.
Oh,
man.
That's
crazy value.
About it.
I would buy that car for my kid in a heartbeat. Like that. Here you go.
Would you?
Have
I
fun.
Don't know. I mean, it doesn't have an airbag. I mean, it's like this car is neat in so many ways, but I mean, anything more than $12,000, $13,000, $14,000, like we said earlier, get a 944. This is a front-wheel drive car, and that's always going to hurt it. I mean, and I love them. I love these cars. I would love to have a 16-valve Scirocco of the era.
you've never connect. We've never connected these dots because we keep talking about Volkswagen to Porsche. But when you just say 944, that's the argument why this isn't a $15,000 car. 125,000 mile 944 would barely bring $15,000-$16,000, and that's it. What would you rather have? And yeah, nobody in their right mind would pick the VW over the Porsche. So yeah,
That's all there is to it. This is
And the 944 would be an 85 or an 86. It would be like a 7 year older car. I mean, it's just, it's crazy.
Yeah, but probably more reliable if it's been kept in good condition, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah. Sad, more expensive to maintain.
Yeah.
But more reliable once it's done.
Hey, if this car comes in under 10 grand, it is a fantastic starter enthusiast car.
Rip it.
Car.
Rip it. Just grab it.
Buy it and
just
have fun. Grab it. All right. Last car of the day. What else we got?
Last car. We picked the worst for last, JP. An original owner, 2005 Pontiac GTO with a 6-speed manual. This is a 6,000-mile example out of Blooming Grove, New York. You ever heard of Blooming Grove, New York, JP?
I have not. I'm sure our Pico Market guys know where it is.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
My sister's
got a guy. Okay. So they call it Yellow Jacket. I love the names of paint. It's hilarious. Limited slip differential. And I believe, and I this is unsubstantiated, I'm guessing, I think this car comes with the 6-liter LS2 V8. And I think that's a dot two. I think the first of these came with like a 5.7 or a 5.8 liter motor. And then like the dot twos, they had like a, you know, not a face. A facelift, but they had an upgrade to the mechanicals and they moved to a 6-liter. So this is the 400 horsepower, 400 torque. This is kind of the one you want. Low miles. It's ridiculous paint, but this is a ridiculous car. Here's the deal. Me and Willie McGee were in Australia in 2002 for the Australian Formula One race. We took this huge trip to go like see Australia and whatever. And while we were in Sydney, before we went down to Melbourne for the race, while we were in Sydney, we kept seeing these. These were called Holdens, which are General Motors cars in Australia. And then Ford had a car that I think was like a Torino that was the same thing. And these were these coupes with these big American V8s that were stick. And we saw them all over town. And they were like, it's weird that they don't sell that car in the United States. These are really cool cars. When they go by, they sound like a powerboat. They're amazing. And then Bob Lutz got reappointed to General Motors, and the first thing he did was bring the Australian-made GM cars and then rebadge them as Pontiac GTOs and sell them in the States, which was really funny. So it was interesting to see Bob Lutz do that. These cars were never a commercial success, but it's a lot of performance for the money. And if you're an American guy, like if you grew up in Detroit, this is the car you would probably want to have. So anyways, they're just neat cars. Even if they're not loved cars, they're not true enthusiast cars. They're still a lot of fun. I mean, God, it's a stick, it's an LSD, and it's a 6-liter V8 rear-wheel drive. I mean, you're going to do some donuts in this thing. It'll put a smile on your face. It's kind of like the Jeep analogy. It might not be the cool car, but it's certainly going to be fun to drive. I don't care how crappy an automobile it is. You're going to make you smile. Go do donuts, and you'll have a blast. The Pontiac GTO, sitting at $25,000, JP. Where you at?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. It's not anything I really want, but looking at the photos of this car, and for those of you who are listening, we do have links to all the cars in the description below. But I got to hand it to the designers at Holden or whoever the hell is doing this. The interior does not look like something or anything that Pontiac ever did. Pontiac was always about whiz-bang extra buttons and radiuses and stupid design instead of form. You know, they were never it was always form over function, right? So they just was just a terrible design. This, dare I say, is pretty dang minimalist. The interior is a space that I do not hate. This is one of the nicer American car interiors that I've ever seen. Now, that steering wheel is pretty darn hideous. But look at those gauges, man. That is not bad. That is,
I'm telling you,
super
simple stuff.
Simple. And, you know, the faces are super clean and easy to read. They're not a bunch of digital readouts. You know, the pedals are basic. I mean, look at that. This is, I don't know, this is like something for like a trip computer, but it's all very simple stuff. This dashboard, the center console for the stereo and the climate control and all that stuff. Not a lot going on there. And the nice stitching and stuff like that. I mean, with the power, and then even looking underneath, it's just not busy. This car I've never driven one, but it's got to be fun. I mean, look at the size of that engine. And again, not a lot going on in the interior. Like most modern cars, you cannot, when you open the hood on the hood of a, I don't know, a Mustang or something like that, you're not going to be able to see the body color of the car. No. Because it's just going to be plastic covering up everything. Now, this has plastic covering up the valve covers, but you can actually see down to the bottom of the car. There's not a lot. There's not a lot of
strut tower brace. And look at that cold air intake going up to the front grill.
Yeah, that's factory. Yeah, that's all,
it was, I mean, a performance car. I mean, you know, you would never consider it as an alternate to like an M3 because an M3 is so much more agile. But again, if you're an American kid and you don't want to go around turns, you just want to do the stoplight Grand Prix. This is your weapon, man.
I think these do okay around corners too. I mean, I've heard people say they're the hold okay. Pretty all right.
You could go buy KW V3s for this car, JP, and probably transform the hell out of it, and that would be amazing.
Look at this picture. JP, look at that. It's the guy has it in a bubble. This JP, car did not get COVID.
No, JP, listen to this now. The final assembly for this car is Elizabeth, Australia. Believe it or not, and I think this is part of the problem. Somebody like Camissa would know the answer. But essentially, Lutz wanted the car, but we didn't make this car here. This car was made in GM plants in Australia. So despite being a Pontiac, and it's not a domestic car, this is an import. And yet we're only charging a $700 destination charge. It probably cost GM $3,000 to get this car to the States. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird that these cars were shipped from Australia to be sold as a domestic car. So just a really, really weird history to these things. I wouldn't be surprised if down the road, and I mean, you know, 10, 20 years from now, that these become collector cars. And this one's in collector condition. But anyway, just a neat car. And like I said, because I saw them before they were available in the United States, I was happy that Lutz, an enthusiast, a car guy, and not a bean counter, brought them in, even if they weren't a commercial success. So Pontiac GTO, JP, where are you at? You think it's going to do well?
I doubt it. What's the number?
$33,000 is the original MSRP. And I'm going to go ahead and say $33,000 is what this one's going to bring. I think this car brings sticker because of the bodacious color, the .2 engine, and the low miles. And it's on a New York plate.
Where is it at now?
It's at $25,000 with 2.5 hours to go on BAT. It's a verified one owner car. And JP, let me give it to you. $25,000 on just 11 bids.
Well, if anybody's going to find the audience for it, it's BAT. So, I'm going to go 30. I think it
30 is a fair number. That was probably my first guess. And when I saw MSRP was 33, I just put another couple grand on it. So I think you're basically taking my old bid. Yeah. That's a show, buddy. We did it.
We made it through a Monday, guys. Make sure you hit the subscribe, like, and notification button. We will see you tomorrow for Bid Nerds. Thanks for watching.
Later.